might be watching by internet. Of course, a lot of churches are having their services broadcast this morning. So let's pray so much for them. And visitors, we welcome you this morning. We will not receive the offering by passing the plate this morning. We're trying to do all we can, and every one of us should, to keep down the spread of germ. Should any of us be infected, and that we never know. We trust we aren't. But the ushers will have plates as you exit the sanctuary this morning, and we would trust that you would put your tithes and offerings in that as you leave. And also those people at home that were not able to come this morning, we would ask you, as the email went out, that you can send your tithes over the website, the way as mentioned, or you can mail it. The church goes on. Heating bills still go on. The payments to the church go on. In fact, since the congregation is not here and our body heats almost 100 degrees, we have to have more heat this morning to be deficient, because people's body heats aren't helping to heat it up, okay? So the heating bill will be slightly larger, although it's warm outside. Just a note about all those people sick and afflicted. Brother Bill got to go home. Thank God for that. He had that heart problem, and we'll mention that in the message today. God always works just in time. Bill Creasman, that is. You know, he had that heart attack and got him by ambulance to Mission Hospital. And while they were, as I understand it, doing the stent, he was having a heart attack. And the doctor said, "You're very lucky to be alive." Of course, that was the hand of God. He always operates just in time. And Brother Bill is back home this morning recuperating. I did not think I would be here, because one day this week they told me over at the rest home, we're Sander, the Lodge of Mills River, and I have nothing but high regards for that place. I was over there 9 days and nine nights. I left a few times, but toward the end they told me if I even set my foot out in the hall, I would have to leave the premise and not come back because of germs, health department rules, and all that, which was fine. But then on Saturday morning, they came in and changed that rule and said that I had to leave no matter what. No visitors. In fact, when the health officials go in, they have to be screened to make sure they're healthy. So I told Sandra, even though she did not want me to leave and I did not want to leave, but she's in a very safe place. They take all the precautions necessary and keep praying for her. And also Miss Mildred Hayes is in that same facility. And Miss Jeanette Griffin is in the rest home. And we have so many people in rest homes that are not able to be here, that used to be here, and are faithful to service. So let's pray for them this morning. And God's able to sustain us no matter where we are, no matter if I'm here or she's there. And, of course, when I had to leave, she was crying and discouraged and despondent. And I said, remember what we've been taught, my grandfather taught me. I've told you 100 times. But just in case you forgot, let's thank God that things are as well with us as they are. That's helped me so much. It'll help you today. If you're discouraged, if you're worried about the future, thank God that things are just as well as they are, because definitely they could be a lot worse. And I said to Sandra, I was able to be with you when you needed me 9 nights. What if this rule had come about on night 1, 2, or 3 when you really needed me? And it was very important I was there by your side, but thank God he allowed me to be with you that long. So we're thankful. That's the way we are this morning. A lot of people could not come to church. But they can pray. We still have God's word. We still have his presence. Let's be thankful for that. Let's take courage from that. Let's turn the Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Read some encouraging words. Of course, everything in the Word of God is encouraging, and we do want to be encouraged this morning. And I remember when Jesus was facing death, he knew it was the last days. He came to die. He knew he was going to Golgotha's hill. He knew the time, the day, the event. He knew the people that would be there to put nails in his hands and his feet. He knew all that, and yet he was willing to go. Remember, they tried to stone him on other occasions, but it wasn't time. God's timing is perfect. God had allowed it. And then they wondered And even his brethren said, "Are you going to the feast at Jerusalem?" Because they knew that everywhere he went in those last days, they were trying to have him arrested and put him to death. But he knew he was going to die by crucifixion. He was going to give his life for your life, for my life. He was going to shed his blood on the cross. It had already been foretold. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. Us understand we are in God's will, we are in God's plan. And not only did he see the crucifixion and the death of Jesus before, but he saw the resurrection, of course, the ascension, and the soon coming. And God knew everything. He knew this day would happen. He knew you'd be here. Don't ever question what God knows. He knows everything about anything and everything. And since he does, and I belong to him, and if you're saved, you belong to him, what worry do we have? We have raiment, we have food to eat, we have his protection. And then a lot of people, no doubt, have died and are dying and probably will die from this virus and other viruses. There's been others worse, although this could be worse than all of them. We don't know. But if you look back at history, how many thousands and hundred thousands died in World War One and World War II, and all of course of time. But the good news is, if we're ready to go, we're trusting in Jesus. And it's better farther on. I remember when I was in the hospital 35 days with peritonitis, didn't know if I'd ever get out or not, and I didn't pray to live, I didn't pray to die. It occurred to me that I had the peace of God. I was in his hands. I live, that's okay. I wanted to live actually for my family, but as far as going on home, I was too sick to worry about it. It's such a good feeling just to be in his hands, trusting, believing, because he could come while we're gathered together. Wouldn't that be something? Realizing a lot of people will be left behind. So hopefully during this awful thing that's happening in the world, people will understand that we are in the last days, he's soon coming, and if they aren't right with God, they'll make their preparation knowing. Because even if people don't die in this crisis, and hopefully they won't, they're going to die. And he's going to come. And when he takes us home, the world's in chaos. If we think this is something, those people in the tribulation period will go through. They'll look back on this day and say, that was just a drop of water in the bucket. That was like a grain of sand on the seashore compared to what we're going through in the tribulation. Let people take note, that day is coming. If you aren't saved, a good time to get saved, even this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll begin reading with verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love, for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything, listen attentively to this verse, I'll probably read it twice. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus concerning you. I used to read that verse of Scripture many years ago, and I wondered, how can I be thankful for sickness? How can I be thankful for a lot of things that goes on? But the scripture says, and it's true, and God brought me to the place while I was laying there thinking what I was going through in the hospital with peritonitis, not knowing if I would live or die. I was thankful. God taught me to be thankful. And I remember Darren came in one day to see me, and I was crying. He said, "Dad, where are you hurting right now?" I said, "I'm not hurting at all." "You're crying." I said, "Yeah." I just realized how thankful I am that God chose me to go through this and render himself to me and let me hear his voice more clearly than I ever have. During those days, I couldn't pray, too sick. I couldn't hardly talk to people, but I learned to listen to God in those days, for which I was thankful. Had God not allowed me to go through that troubling time, I would never have learned the peace of God like I did. So the verse of Scripture is true. If you've never experienced it, you can in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, Christ Jesus, concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Listen to the promise. We do those things. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And though we could dwell and concentrate, meditate, and talk about any of those verses at length, I want to choose one of those verses. Pray without ceasing. Surely these are days that we need to learn how to pray as we've never prayed before. And I want to look at three things about that, and then we'll get to a little bit different. The greatest opportunity we have in this world to do anything is to pray, to seek God's face, to understand that we're going through the last days, and other people, now we're saved, we're going home, and none of us want to go until the time comes, but when the time comes, we're going home, and it's far better over there than it is here. So don't worry about that. But there are millions and thousands and hundreds and dozens of people you know and I know that aren't saved. So we need to pray. Pray for every situation. The Bible just told us pray without ceasing. So I'll look at three things. First of all, how to pray. The Bible is very clear on this. We need to know how to pray. We need, first of all, when we pray, Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." First thing we understand that when we pray, Jesus taught us another place in the word, adoration. When we pray, how do we pray? First of all, adoration, praise, and honor to him. And you'll learn how to do that better when you learn how to be thankful for anything. A lot of people accuse God. It makes cold chills run over my body. Few things do. I see sin, that makes cold chills run over my body. But when people say, "God has not been good to me," that makes cold chills run over my body, because I know three things if I know nothing else. God has done right, God is doing right, and God will do right. Therefore, when I approach the throne of God, no matter what I need, we'll deal with that later. First of all, adoration. How do you pray? Adoration to his name. Giving him honor and thanks for everything he's done, what he is doing, and what he will do. First of all, we have to, and the Bible teaches us in Nehemiah and Daniel and in many places when we pray, we have to have confession for our sins, because Jesus said in the model prayer for the disciple, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." So we address him in adoration and praise and honor, knowing he is holy, he's right, he's just, And we come and we realize we're not. So when we pray, Lord, you're great, and then forgive us our sin, a contrite heart he will not deny. And then after we do that, we ought to give thanks for all the benefits. He already told us in this verse, be thankful for everything. Remember, praise to him, forgiveness of sins, and be thankful for all the benefits that we have. And then after that, this is you praying the way you want to, but this is biblically the way you pray. Ask your petitions. Ask him anything. Once you've got gone this particular way, and if you prayed according to the word of God, which we know and we understand, and we just told you, then we ask our petition, the model prayer. We don't have time to dwell on that. Okay, the next thing is not only how to pray, but when to pray. We just read that also. Pray without ceasing. What do you mean I have to pray all the time? It means an attitude of prayer. No matter where you are, you may be listening to a sports event, which there's none going on right now, and that's another terrible thing, no doubt, but a lot of things aren't going on. But no matter what, the attitude of prayer, and if you have a right attitude of prayer, recognize in your mind God's holy, that's settled in your heart, I'm a sinner, I make mistakes, Lord, help me not to make mistakes, I'm asking you petitions because I need your help, I need your guidance, and then these things continually on our mind, because God doesn't look at our physical being. He looks at our heart. Our heart's desire is to be pleasing to him in every deed, in every purpose, in every step of the way. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If we're looking at him, confessing our sins, asking petitions of him, and thanking him for his benefits, then he goes with us and guides our steps. So how to pray and when to pray. Well, what do we pray for? That's a big one, because there's a lot of needs. We couldn't even begin to thank him for all the benefits. We don't even realize how many times God has protected us, how many times God has orchestrated events to happen in our life and the life of others, and his timing has been perfect in all those situations. How many wrecks and how many crashes has he prevented with every one of us? On and on and on. So we don't even know all that, but we do know, most of us know, some of the things we need. So let's look what we pray for. He says in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So we pray and give him thanks. And then when we ask God for those individual needs, you're asking God for a need that you think you have, or me saying, God, I need this. We don't really know our hearts. So we must be willing to say, Lord, according to your will. I know what my will is, but my will must conform to his will. And then he hears and answers that prayer. A lot of times we've already told God what we want, and he may say, well, I've told you this before, but everybody wasn't listening. When I first came to be pastor here, I had all these dreams and aspirations of how I wanted God to increase the church. And so I started writing a sheet of paper. I had about 12 things wrote that I wanted God to do. And I had not considered the fact that God is reading my list. He spoke so clearly to me, not audibly, it was a lot clearer than that. And he said, that's a pretty good list. But I've got one too. Which list do you want to go by? I didn't have to pray about it. I didn't have to think about it. I threw mine in the trash can. Said, Lord, I'm going to be your list. I know it's better than mine. And even though with all my heart, with all my ability, I was trying to write down things that I thought was for his will, some of them could have been for my will. And if there was any pride in there whatsoever, I knew that wasn't going to come to pass. So we understand that when we pray, we ask petitions according to your will, O Lord. So we've dealt with that. I want to go individually now. Let's turn to the book of Daniel. We've looked in general how we pray, what we're to pray for. But let's see how Daniel models this. Of course, he does. He preceded, of course, the New Testament. If you look at Daniel chapter 9, just for a few minutes. And in chapter 9, we'll read some of the scripture, beginning with verse 1. Now remember the setting. Daniel is in captivity. He has been taken from Israel hundreds of miles up to a foreign land. And there he has been chosen as the three Hebrew children. God was in that, of course. God knew who would be chosen. But they chose those fair men, men of understanding, men of knowledge. They chose them and taught them the way of the Chaldeans. And they taught them all that they wanted to teach them, hoping and trusting they would forget about their God. Too late. They would not forget about their God because he had already entreated them, and they realized that. So Daniel went through that, and we won't have time to go through all the dreams God gave him. He answered the dreams. But now we're in chapter 9, and he's praying and seeking God's face. He's already stood the test of time, and remember the children of Israel were there in bondage. A lot of them were not faring as well as Daniel did, because once he had interpreted a dream, he was elevated to a high position. But there, remember, one time they said, you can't pray. And don't tell me I can't pray. God said, I can pray. So he turned his face toward Jerusalem. But now we're in chapter 9. He's praying, and what he says and how he prays will help you and me. It's a model also for us to pray. So let's read the text together. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Remember now, he is going, he knows the word of God. Fortunately, it looks as though he has a copy of the book of Jeremiah. Had he not had a copy, he had read it, and he knew what the word of God said. He no doubt had a great memory. Nevertheless, he knows what the scripture says. So we base our prayers, and he's basing his prayers. He's basing his life upon the scriptures, what God's already said. So you and I, we know his word, so we base our life, our actions, our attitude, and particularly on the true word of God. It'll get us through this. It'll get us through the next thing. It'll get us all the way to heaven. Now, if you're saved by the grace of God, his blood has been applied to your heart, you're going. But we can go with the peace of God in our heart. We can go with grudges and gripes and all that. But wouldn't you want to go first class? I never have. I've flown a lot and never could afford a first class ticket. I'm not sure whether about one anyway. They're too high. And I remember hearing about Billy Graham. It's told that Billy Graham would not fly first class. Why? Because he said the people that paid my salary and paid for an organization can't afford it. So he just flew like everyone else. And I appreciate that. But first class citizens, those seats up front, they're a lot more roomy. And used to when they fed you good, you got a lot better meal and you had more room, never which way. And the only time I've ever got the seat in sat in the first class seat was one time. When the Lord had told me I was going to Cleveland, and the Lord had told me he was going to show me that day how his hand was upon me. And I was just thinking. Sometimes you don't think about, he knows my thoughts. I was just thinking that I'm back in the back, my long legs, I'm crumpled up. And I just had a thought, sure would be nice to have more leg room. At that very instant, God's timing, a first-class hostess all the way back to where I was, bypassed everybody else, stopped and said, sir, you have been chosen for first class.
Wow.
Three other things happened that day. I told you before about that, how God said, I'll show you they have my hands upon you. So I got to sit in first class. So I said all that to tell you this. We're going to heaven if you're saved. Because you're redeemed. Price been paid. Your blood bought. Tickets reserved. Hell can't do a thing about it. You can't do anything about it, nor do you want to do anything about it. You're heaven bound. But how we go is very important, because happiness, God answering prayers, contentment, it's very important. So how we pray and how we give thanks is so important. So now Daniel, he could have had a bad attitude, but he did not. Had he had a bad attitude about the situation he was in, he would not have been the person he is and to be used by God. So in the first year of Darius, but he had the word of God, he had, or he knew Jeremiah. So he's basing everything on what God's already said. And that's the first thing in their life. A personal desire for the plan of God to be revealed to you and I through his word. And we have his word. Next of all, we're going to get down to verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So he knew that he wasn't going to go back to Jerusalem or to Israel anytime soon. It had already been told. It's going to be 70 years of this duration. He didn't know of how long. He didn't know if he lived till the next day or not. But he did know he wasn't going back. And you and I don't know when we're going home, but we know God knows. And he understood that. And he believed that. So the first thing he looked at was his personal desire that the plan of God be revealed in his life. I'm yours. You sent me here. I'm confined to this place of Babylon, and I'll make the most of it. My heart's right with you. I pray right. I seek your face, and I ask forgiveness of my sins. But let's continue. Look what happens in verse 3. He is preparing himself because of the needs he had. And I set my face into the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth. And ashes. He is preparing his heart. Remember, first thing we do when we come to God, all the way through the scripture, it's so uniform. It's so precise. It all is based upon the same level. Seeking God first, looking to him, seeing that we aren't right, forgiveness, Lord. Now he's in that model too. He is preparing his heart because of the needs he has. He's getting himself humble. Remember, God will not resist. And God loves a contrite and a broken heart. Verse 4. He's going to be praising God now. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confessions. He's making his confession after he acknowledged who God was. And made my confessions and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. See how uniform the word of God is, everywhere you turn. Nehemiah, Jesus, your prayers and mine, she modeled after this. How great you are. How perfect you are. Then forgiveness. And then thankfulness. And then the needs. Over and over and over. And I prayed to the Lord God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. He emphasizes again, God is going to give you peace and me peace. He's taking us to heaven if we're blood-bought, that's for sure. But how we go is up to us. Contentment and the peace of God. And the scripture says it passeth all understanding when you can come to the fact you have that peace with him. Tell me about it. Can't. He said it can't be defined. It's so perfect and real. Paul was able to get a glimpse of heaven. He said, I don't even know if I went there or not, but there was a man that went. He couldn't even tell it for many years. There's things you can't tell. And he spoke many languages fluently, but yet he could not tell about the things of God. And when you experience that peace, it's so real, it's so genuine, it's so perfect, it passes the vocabulary to tell. But you sure can experience it. Daniel has experienced it before, and now he is continuing. Even after all these things that he has gone through, he's still in the same frame of mind. It never changes. The world changes. Computers and all the technology changes. But the pure word of God never changes. The only change that should be made is let him rule in your heart, and he'll give you that peace. So now he is praising God for his name in the very beginning. We understand that. Then look at the next thing. He's going to praise God for his nature in that same verse. He's praising God for his name. Now he's praising for his name. My confession to the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy. You don't have to worry about God keeping his part. I praise him for his name. And I praise him for his nature. His nature is not like yours and mine. I change my mind a lot, don't you? The things that, you know, if I have a decision to make, I pray about it. And I think I have the answer. But then if it's a really important decision, I sleep on it, so to speak. And let God come into my heart that night, give me a restful peace. And then I seek his face again. And that peace, the understanding just seems to be delivered to your mind. How are you going to go through this? We're serving a very wonderful God. And we're in the last days, and this was very stressful this morning, you know. What if 200 people show up at the church, and we have this law that we have to abide by, we will abide by it, we must abide by it. We don't want to make the national news, folks. And we don't want over 10 people here either. How do you handle that? Well, you don't. You just let God handle it. And God will tell you what to do and how to do it. None of us made the right decision. God directed their paths. Here that we have this morning in the 90s. Isn't that great? We're so blessed. God is so perfect. And now he is praising God for his nature. God, your covenants forever, they don't change. And I praise you for your name, for the fact that you won't change. Me, you're perfect. You can't beat perfection, can you? But he contends in that. Look at verse 10. He now is going to petition God. Remember, anywhere you look, whether it's Nehemiah, Daniel, Jesus, Paul, everybody has the same pattern of prayer because God ordained it. That tells you and that tells me that I ought to follow the same precepts. So look at the next part of this model of prayer in verse 10. He's petitioning God about their neglect. Verse 10. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. He knew the word of God. Now he's putting himself right there. If there's ever been a model citizen in that day or any day, it would be Daniel. He heard from God. He interpreted dreams. He didn't want vainglory. After God had let him interpret the dream, he didn't go down to the newspapers and he didn't broadcast it. And now he is including himself in that. He said, he didn't say these people have sinned. That's why we're here. He said, we have sinned. Back to the neglect part that we praise God and we seek his face, and we petition him, not only for ourselves, but for others. In verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he hath set before us by his servants, the prophets. The word of God is our direction. We follow it. We don't follow man's precepts. We don't even follow our own. Only God is true. So we petition him for our nation, for the world. Why did God allow what's going on? He's God. He's done right. He's doing right. He will do right. I don't question that. So the question for me is not to ask him why. The question for me is, God, I know who you are. I praise your name. I know I'm not right. Forgive me my sins. And the other people forgive their, and get us right with you, and you'll take care of it. Remember what he said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our nation. It's all about that, folks. Trust in God. Let's continue. One other thing, we'll be closing. Now in verses 15 through 19, he's pleading with God, and we can do that. Remember, we ask petitions of him after we do these other things, and I won't reiterate those other things. We remember from now, said them three times. You said you're getting Alzheimer's. You repeat yourself a lot about those. I may be, but I don't know if I am. I'm repeating because it's so important. And sometimes we have to have things told to us over and over and over. That's why he tells us in his word through Nehemiah, through Daniel, through Jesus, through Paul, over and over and over. Same precepts. Surely we'll get it sooner than later. Look at verse 15 through 19. He is pleading with God for new mercy, and surely we need mercy. Well, he's got it to spare. And if we'll come our way and do our part according to his precepts, that mercy is not only available, but it will be given to us for the needs of the day. Verse 15. And now, Lord, our God, that hath brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hath gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. We. We're all included. We're all human. You might look and compare yourself to others, and we may. I remember one time a preacher asked me a question that got me to thinking. He said, there's this church over here that God's saving a lot of the people there, and that's good. He said, but let me tell you their doctrines. It doesn't line up with the Word of God, but, and it didn't. He said, but God saved them anyway. How is he doing that? And the Lord, it's just so simple. And I said, well, let's look at the situation. Let's look who he is and look who we are. I said, try to name a number that you would attribute to God. A billion times a billion times a billion, and rightness, righteousness, and everything. All that, the numbers beyond that, right? Right. Okay, let's look at you and me and that church. Say, well, they're probably not even one. And I'm less than that. I'm only 0.5. What does 1 and 0.5 compare to a billion times a billion? None of us are right compared to him. So sometimes God winks at our ignorance. That's not giving you a license. But maybe they didn't understand the right doctrines. And there again, that's God's business. God says who he, if they preach Jesus, I'm not advocating people have the wrong doctrines, God forbid. But that's not up to me. It's not up to you. It's up to an almighty God who is righteous and true and holy. And he chooses who he will, and he says who he will. And the scripture says, though some preach Christ in the wrong, they preach Christ, he does a saving. So the scripture says, we got to hurry. I didn't bring my watch. I think I lost it. And that's okay. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, remember, thy righteousness. I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, the holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about it. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our rashness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken. And defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city, that people call by thy name. Everyone stand. Please come to the organ, piano, play whatever. Altar is open. We need to pray. How do we pray? We understood what we pray for. So clear. So easy to remember. Only desire is, do we want what God wants? Or are we content? Paul says, I have learned to be content. I used to read that verse of scripture. Paul said, I have learned to be content. Being stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, you were content. We can learn to be content where God says we can. We can be at peace with God regardless of anything and everything. The peace of God rules us, blows a whistle on us when we get out of His will. Let's pray. Lord, we beseech you for thy righteousness, thy holiness, and who you are. We ask forgiveness of our sins, my sins. Lord, I'm so thankful for everything you've done up to this point. I'm thankful for the things you are doing. I'm thankful for the things you are about to do. Help me be content therein. And God, now I can ask my petitions according to your will, according to your word, of course. Hear us, O God, and give us thy tender mercies. Not we deserve them, no, we don't. Thy mercies, God, upon our nation, upon the sins. The biggest need in the world is salvation for the lost. And after that, Father, we are in troubled times. You said it'd be like that. Nothing to be alarmed about. Pestilences. And it could get worse. And I won't complain by the help of God if it does. Because you're perfect. We just ask and plead for your mercies and your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Amen.